Welcome to Ignite, where leadership meets purpose. I am your host, Vicki Wright Hamilton. Today, we're driving deep into what it truly means to lead with impact, not just through authority, but through empowerment. My guest today knows exactly what it takes to build fearless, people-centered leadership. Vaquita Poindexter is the CEO of Poindexter Consulting Group and one of the nation's most respected HR and DEI experts. With over 30 years of experience, she's known as the HR Fixer, guiding organizations through compliance challenges, leadership development, and equitable transformation. Vaquita, I am so glad to have you here with us today, and welcome to Ignite.
Well, thank you so much. I am looking forward to it. Thank you for having me, and I cannot wait to begin to have this conversation.
Awesome. So let's start with this. Many leaders are spending their days putting out fires, trying to deal with the day-to-day challenges rather than fueling growth and moving forward. Instead of developing people, they're managing problems and missing the deeper purpose of what true leadership is all about. Why is shifting from the boss to coach so difficult, but so important?
You know, that's a very good question. And one of the things I always say is this, you know, everybody wants to be in leadership, right? Everybody wants the title, they want the pay, but they really don't really understand the responsibilities that comes along with it. And so when we talk about, you have to shift from a boss mentality to a coach mentality. This is something that I've been practicing for over the last 40 years. One is I played basketball in high school and college. I've coached, you know, all of my kids in sports and then coached junior varsity basketball here. Coaching is more advantageous because now you're a part of the process and you can help the employees understand what they need to be able to do. Being a boss is telling people what to do. And so, you know, we hear this statement, before people know how much you know, they want to know how much you care. And so one of the things that we pride ourselves on is making sure that we're not asking an employee to do something that we haven't done or not do, right? And I think that is the challenge that you have when you're trying to motivate teams and managing processes. One, you got to have great, not good. You have to have great time management. Number two, you need to be able to understand your leadership style, right? How do you lead teams? How do you motivate people? Three, you need to know your communication style, because employees are not all square pegs. They're going to fit in round holes. And so you're dealing with individuals, not square pegs. And so I think that the shift is difficult because when people are having these conversations and they're trying to increase morale and they're trying to manage processes, you manage processes, not people. You're dealing with individuals. And so you have to be able to know what motivates this individual, not the entire team. How does this person receive information? How does this person, are they more visual? Are they more auditory? And so you have to be able to take time to really get to know your team. That is the strategy of a good coach. You have to know every single player on your team, what attributes that they bring. We have a tendency to want to be able to focus on weaknesses. You don't focus on weaknesses. People's weaknesses are their weaknesses. You focus on strengths, and then you hire other people to compensate those weaknesses. So I think that's part of the challenge, is leaders haven't really taken the time out to really know how they lead. So that's the problem with the shifting.
You know, Vaquita, you're talking about some very, very important things as we move forward. And I think there's also challenges as we start to talk about leadership. Now, we know people do the work, organizations don't. The business can't do it without the individuals. We also understand that a leader cannot motivate someone. That comes from within, but they can provide a motivating environment. And to your point, being able to understand how people learn is a criteria that becomes important from the very beginning, because let's face it, your people are getting results to help you look good, to help the environment look good. If you're not giving them what they need the way they need, what's actually going to happen? You're not going to reach those objectives either. But on the same side, let's talk about the other side of that. where leaders are also responsible for the outcomes and the balance of that. So how do you teach leaders to ask better questions instead of giving the answers to actually get some of this information quicker, faster, and more accurately so that they can begin to excel?
Sure. That's really good. That's a really good question. Because here's my first point. Your employees are your greatest asset. If you take care of the employees will take care of the business. If you don't, then there will be no business. And part of the challenges that we see where it comes, whether it's litigation or whether it's just leaders trying to motivate or anything like that, is they fail to understand that you are managing people, right? And so managing people means leading people. And employees like to feel that they're an integral part of the process in the organization. And so, contrary to what people think, it's not always about pay, it's not always about benefits. It is, as an employee, am I contributing to my own personal mission and vision for the trajectory of my career path with this particular organization? And so it is a duality between the two. So leaders have to be able to understand, like they're quick to hire, but have they sat down and really done their due diligence to really understand what is it that I need in order to make my department, my organization be successful? Two, do you understand the communication challenges? Because we're in this digital world where nobody's having old-fashioned communications. And so are you really being able to sit down or either virtually check in with your employees? I will tell you, as a leader of my team, I know everything that there is to know about my employees. I know how many kids they have. I know their birthdays. I know family members. I know whether their parents are still living, if they've had a death in their family, if they've got any major medical crisis. There is nothing that I can't ask an employee on my team to do that they would not be willing to do. So they share my successes, they share the heartaches, they share, everything that we go through as an organization, because my name may be in the title, but it's my team that helps me run the organization. You have to be vested into your people. If you are vested into your people, the processes will follow. And we are hearing, in HR, people are not retiring from companies anymore. Well, that's disingenuous, and that's not true. I mean, I have a client that has employees that's been there 29 and 30 years. Why is he successful in that? Because he's invested in his people. He trusts his people. The one thing that employees' biggest complaints and surveys and things that we do is, my manager doesn't trust me, my supervisor doesn't trust me, so why am I here? And so I think that is also part of the challenge. So really taking time out to do your due diligence, understand the need, understand what type of employee that you need, understand what is going to contribute to the success of their career path. Because I operate from this, and one of the things I coach C-suite leaders on is that employee may not retire from you, but what impact can they make for themselves in the trajectory of their career path or the organization for the next 60, 90 days, 6 months? Don't look at a 5-year plan. Look at a 90-day plan. Look at a 120-day plan. Look at a 6-month plan. I think those are some of the things that will help contribute to a successful work environment for the employee as well as the employer.
And those are some very, very good points that you're bringing up. And as you talk about knowing your people, the first thing that comes to mind is something that I talk about as well when I'm talking to leaders is it's really about what you're saying. It's the emotional connection. People stay with
Absolutely.
people because they're emotionally connected. They feel like emotionally, you care about my well-being. You care about me. Now, let's face it. Every leader is not going to be in a place where they don't have to make hard decisions. And
Sure.
I know, even as I've led teams, I remember one time I was told, you got to reduce your force, you got to reduce your force. And I loved every team member. But then it comes down to being able to logically separate the skills and capabilities to the longevity of where the company is going and direction. But at the same time, how can you help them? You don't have to let people go in an angry way. You don't have to let people go in a bad way. There's so many things you can do in terms of helping them for success as we continue to move forward. And I'm looking forward to delving into that a little bit more as we move forward. I have one question for you, though. Based on what you are talking about, What's one coaching question or habit someone can start using this week with their team members to move forward?
Check in with them on it. Just check in with them. Not asking for anything. Just, how are you doing today? A simple question. Because now you're concerned about the individual, not necessarily the task. How are you? You know, and an employee might share or they might not share. And either or, it's okay. And if they don't share, just say, you know what? If there's anything that I can do professionally or personally, just let me know. Because what you've done is you planted that seed. You know, and that's all that you can do at that point in time is plant the seed. Now you can't plant the seed one time and then expect it to grow, because even in a garden, you plant a seed, you got to water, you got to tend to it, you got to make sure that it grows. It's the same identical thing when you're talking about investing into your employees. You have to be able to check in with them, because 90% of the problems that take place in the workplace are not work related. It is this thing called life that people are trying to navigate through. And so you spend more time with the people that you work with than the people that you live with. And so checking in on a regular basis just to see how your team is doing or your employee is doing, you're building trust. Building trust will open up lines of communication that you never thought that you would be able to have. And then it opens up the ability to talk about, you know, all the strengths and weaknesses that are going on within your department or your particular organization. So just check in with your people genuinely and authentically.
And you know, Vikita, that is so key. We're going to, coming up next, we're going to explore how hiring for values and not just skills can transform a company's culture from inside out. Stay with us. Look forward to you coming right back. Welcome back to Ignite. Want more of what you've been watching? Stay connected to Ignite and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. Now, for those of you that are on the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv, where from business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Now, I'm here with Vikita Poindexter, who's sharing her expertise on leadership transformation. In this segment, we're going to talk about something that determines the heart of every organization: hiring for values. We know that too often leaders focus on skills and experiences, only to realize that a person doesn't fit the team's purpose or culture. So the challenge for leaders is that hiring based on qualifications can create a culture clash, can create misalignment and high turnover. When values don't align, performance and morale truly suffer. So, Vikita, how do you help organizations identify core values worth hiring for?
Sure. So, first of all, my philosophy is hire slow, but fire fast. And so, taking your time with doing your due diligence. Number one, do you really understand the mission and the vision of the organization? The individuals that you are interested in talking to need to be able to really understand that. Do you understand your company culture? You know, as a leader, you are responsible for creating a culture that employees want to come to work to, that look forward to showing up to, okay? The third piece of that is understand that every employee that you bring on board, you're going to train them on how to do the job. Right? We have different systems. We have different processes. They need to have a basic knowledge of the skill set. However, hiring them because of their personal mission and vision aligns with the organization is crucial. There's a difference between hiring somebody because they need a job. It's a difference between hiring someone because you have a need that you need to fulfill. That is a HR nightmare. So you need to take your time, really do your due diligence. Is this individual going to bring value to the team? I'm a sports fan, right? And anybody that knows me, Googles me, has had conversations with me, understand that I am a Dallas Cowboy fan, right? That is America's team, and everybody else is there for the Cowboys to play. And I grew up on the Cowboys in the Tom Landry era. When I look at sports, I look at teams, right? And so just because you're a not good player on this team does not make you a good player. You're just on the wrong team. And so you really have to, as you're going into the draft, as I so-called call it, for your team or your organization, is this person going to be a good fit for the team? Can they play well with others? Like simple basic stuff. What is their communication? What are their goals? What are their missions and visions? Does it align with the organization? If you, and here's the bigger piece. What is their communication style? How do they receive information? One of the things I always tell leaders is, do you know your communication style? I do a personality communication style for every employee that we recruit. Because I know if you communicate this way, being I'm a direct, straight to the point, I'm not a sugar-coated kind of person. If you are hypersensitive, that's not going to work for me. I don't care how well adverse you are in HR policies and procedures, because we're going to clash. And so I'm going to pass on that particular candidate because I need somebody that understands my communication style. And so as a leader recruiting, you have to be able to understand that. Your HR team needs to be able to understand that. So I think those are some critical principles that stop hiring for skills and hire individuals that have the similar missions and values for that the organization has, and that will be an integral part of your particular team because you're going to train them how to do the job.
So, Vikita, all of that is right on. You definitely want to make sure they fit your culture. But how do you do the due diligence to make that happen? What are the warning signs that come up to say, whoa, wait a minute, this may not work? How do you ensure that?
Well, nothing is foolproof, right? Nothing is 100% foolproof, right? And so I think what you have to be able to do is this. One, you want to do 30, 60, 90-day assessments. Because typically what leaders do is they hire somebody, they throw them in there, they give them minimal training, and now you're trying to hold them accountable. It's very difficult to hold people accountable that they don't know what they're being held accountable to. You got to spend time with a new hire. And so, one, they need to have the basic skill set. I mean, if you're hiring a CPA, you can't be teaching them QuickBooks, like certain things they need to be able to have. But I'm a huge proponent, as I indicated earlier, on communication. And so, some people are more electronic communication. Some people don't want to have verbal communications. So, that's where that communication testing comes in. A simple communication test will give you some ideas on how that person communicates. The other thing it does, it takes a deep dive to see what kind of challenges that they've had previously. And so when you're looking at that and you're going through and you're evaluating if this is the individual that's going to be right for your team, these are some cores, just basic principles that should be, standard operating procedures that you do in order to bring somebody to the team. The other thing too is when you're going through and you're assessing them, you need to have weekly follow-ups, okay? Making sure that they're hitting target margins because you want to make sure that the employee also understands what they're going to be held responsible to, and then not wait for a performance evaluation to say they've missed the mark for the last 6 months, but nobody communicated that to them. So I think if you start with those basic strategies, it will be advantageous in making sure that you have some type of longevity, with that particular employee.
So you talked about doing assessments for people to come and just join your organization. And I think the other thing that's key here, this is relevant regardless to what size of an organization you are, because you're creating a culture, whether you're, have two employees or you have 1,000 employees, right? It still requires that dedication as you move forward. But you talked about these assessments and alignments and how to make sure that there's going to be a fit. Do you have tests or recommendations of assessments that leaders can give to align to the values and ensure so that any red flags can be brought up in advance versus later on?
Absolutely. So I'm a huge proponent of Enneagram testing. I take one on an annual basis because as you mature, I don't say get older, I just say mature, right? Kind of like wine, the older it gets, the better it gets,
You
allegedly.
go.
So, how you test in your 30s is going to be different than your 40s or 50 because life is going to teach you some experiences. Your communication is going to change. And so I'm a huge proponent of Enneagram testing. I recommend it to all my clients. I take it myself. And I share the information with my team members when we're kind of going over that. So for me, it does two things. One, it lets me know their communication style, and it lets them know my communication style to see if that's going to be a good fit. Number two, it takes a deeper dive into personality traits. Like, how did you learn some of these things? And you'd be amazed at some of the things that people are still holding on to from childhood that's impacting their ability to be a great leader. And so what I'm going through and I'm coaching and developing C-suite leaders, I have them take an Enneagram test because I want to be able to see what are the stumbling blocks to where you can excel as a leader. If I'm getting an abundance of employee complaints about a leader, I'm doing the same identical thing. So Enneagram testing, I know there's different other communication and personality tests, but this one for me has been the one that I have leaned into 100% because it gives me everything that I'm looking for, you know. And so, you know, the running joke in my office, oh, she's an eight, or this person is a nine. So, you know, it's not a bad thing that we're classified as a number, but at least my team knows, or whatever organization we're working with, they understand that communication style. So it's crucial.
So, tell our audience how they can get that assessment. Where do they go to find it? I think that's great to share a tool that they can use that's really going to help them to excel today.
Sure, they can reach out to us at our website, you know, or they can contact me directly or someone on our team. You know, they can go to info@pcghr.net. We'll be more than happy to provide that with them. If they let us know that they're not a Now Media attendee or watcher, then we'll provide them a discount as well. But I think that's real crucial to be able to kind of go through and kind of look at that. The other thing that I always tell employees or potential leaders as well is make sure you're doing reference verifications, right? We're quick to hire, but we don't have conversations, not an email reference verification, pick up the phone and not call HR, call their immediate supervisor, their previous supervisor. Hey, tell me a little bit about this person. You know, tell me, you know, what kind of struggles did they have? What kind of challenges? How did they overcome them? You know, why did they leave? You know, ask some qualifying questions. The best advice I can give you is be prepared. Be prepared to have these conversations.
And I appreciate that insight. And I want to continue as we continue to move forward into the show, because I do think that leaders struggle with doing references and doing reference checks because of all the legalities that can come around it, because of policies that companies have. You can't talk about this, you can't talk about that. But really being able to get to the truth and what are some of those other hidden secrets that you can find to really understand moving forward. So we're going to, Vikita, as you're sharing your information, we want to help people to understand where they can find out about you and connect with you. Can you share with our audience where that is?
So you can reach out to us at PCG, Paul Charles George, HR.net, or you can reach out to me directly. It's Vikita, Vikita, at PCGHR.net, and we will be more than happy to share a plethora of information with you. I'm a firm believer that knowledge is power and that people perish for a lack of it. And so I want to make sure that you have what you need in order to be successful as a leader, because it's not for the faint of heart.
Amen to that. Up next, we're going to talk about managing conflict before it becomes toxic. And we'll uncover how great leaders address tension early and build trust fast. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Ignite. I'm your host, Vicki Wright Hamilton, joined by the leadership powerhouse, Vikita Poindexter. We've talked about developing people, building value-driven teams, and what happens when things get so tense and challenging. And we know that every leader faces conflict. And the difference between a healthy tension and toxicity often depends on how quickly and wisely we handle those challenges when they come up. Leaders often fear confrontation, as I was speaking about before we took our break, hoping issues will disappear. But silence only deepens division. Great leadership means turning conflict into communication so that we can move forward. So, Vikita, Why do leaders often avoid addressing conflict early, even when the signs are truly obvious?
Sure, conflict has a negative connotation associated with it, so most leaders don't want to deal with that. Conflict can be healthy, right? That just tells you that there's a problem that needs resolution. So oftentimes leaders will not want to deal with conflict for the simple fact that they don't know how. And so they wait, thinking that it's just going to go away, and then it escalates out of control. The other piece of it too is I also believe that leaders don't follow the 3C rule: communication, consistency, and compliance. And so what you do for one, you do for all. I think the other piece to it is that leaders think that it's something that they have done. And so now they go into self-preservation mode instead of dealing with it head on. And so you have to be able to deal with conflict because conflict is going to happen. I mean, you're managing a group of individuals. I like to say leading a group of individuals. There's always going to be a bad day with one or the other. There's going to be miscommunication, lack of communication. There's not going to be consistency across the board. So you have to deal with it head on. Once you delve into it, you'll get accustomed to managing conflict. You have warning signs. And so don't ignore the warning signs. And some of the warning signs are employees start to shut down. You can kind of discern through their email communications that there's a little bit of tension or friction just based off of how they're responding or not responding. They may not be coming to work as they normally have been. Those are all kind of warning signs that you begin to see. And so you have to be able to, again, communicate, not send an email, not send a text message, not an IM or a DM, pick up the phone and say, "Hey, listen, I just want to check in and make sure everything is good. I kind of noticed that you're a little, it appeared to be, and I could be wrong, that you are a little bothered by some things that are going on. Is there anything I can help you with?" Because oftentimes conflict doesn't necessarily arise within the workplace. Outside life is triggering into the workplace, which is now causing it that unnecessary conflict.
So accepting this and understanding it, and you really want to help your team grow, you want them to develop, and you don't want them to be conflict averse. How do you teach teams to take those disagreements without destroying relationships and be able to handle them effectively?
Well, number one, don't take it personal. I think part of the problem is everybody takes everything personal. And then we're living in a hypersensitive society that if somebody disagrees with us, now they feel as though that that's a personal attack, and that's not reality. You know, one of the things that I live by and I teach my team and my children and anybody that I come in contact with is perception is not always reality. So just because somebody has that particular perception doesn't make it reality. However, it's their reality and you have to deal with people in their reality. And so you have to be able to deal with it head on. And so having conversations, you may not come to a resolution, which is okay. I mean, you're not the fire department. You can't put out every single fire, but what you can do is address it, reinforce that you are there to support, deal with bad behavior, code of conduct problems, enforce your company policies and procedures constructively, seek to listen to understand. That is the biggest challenge within conflict. People are listening to respond. So they'll hear one piece of what you said, and this is my new word, and then they're whoosh off to the races, right? So I'm gonna need them to whoosh back and listen to the totality of what is being said. Really have a heart to understand and ask clarifying questions. Some of that bothers people, because I know I do it, and I'll say things like, "Okay, let me just make sure, Vicki, that I completely understand what you're saying. So what I hear you saying is A, B, C, D." And they're like, "I'm not saying that at all." "Okay, perfect. Well, explain to me again so I can make sure I get it, because I'm really trying to understand." That is how you can eliminate some of this conflict, because if people are listening to respond, they don't hear anything else that you said, then able to defend themselves. And that's why I say we're living in this hypersensitive society that people have got to take off that guard and really be a little bit more transparent, which is an uncomfortable place for some people to be.
And you know you're absolutely right. And it's so we think it's so easy, but it's really very difficult
It
as you're
is.
going through the process because you're learning how to adapt to so many people. You know, as you talk, it reminds me of something that I always say about feedback. Feedback is a gift, but it's a gift you can keep and open and understand and want it and relish it, and you're going to do something with it. It's also a gift you can take back to the store and say, I understand this is what your feedback, but I am comfortable with where I am and what I'm doing. And this is not, I have no plans to make a change. That is a conscious decision. That conscious decision also has an impact on whether you're going to be able to survive in that environment, because your conscious decision may be that I'm going against that entire culture and conflict, et cetera, and not able to succeed. And that's because people make these personal choices, you know, as they're continuing to move forward. So I'd love to get your perspective on an example that you can show where a conflict actually turned healthy and the turnaround because someone actually intervened and made a difference in that conflict.
Sure. So we deal with conflict resolution on a daily basis. I was dealing with conflict before you and I had this conversation, so this is timely. Listen, you have to, again, listen to understand, right? Not take things personal. I think the other thing too is you can agree to disagree. That is okay, right? But you can't hold on to stuff. And I think that's the biggest piece that people don't understand. You don't have to agree with what a manager or supervisor is saying. You can be, you know, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I disagree with that. That's okay. But the leader has also have to be able to accept the fact that an employee may disagree with the assessment, which is fine. It doesn't change the narrative of the work environment unless the leader can't let it go and or the employee can't let it go. Sometimes it takes people a minute to process it, right? Before they can. So I'll give you a situation. I was I indicate that right before, you know, jumping on and having a conversation with you, I'm dealing with a C-suite leadership team that just thinks, you know, HR is the devil themselves, right? Because we don't agree with everything that they're doing. And so our job as HR professionals is to mitigate risk and liability. In the process of that, you know, we don't have fancy titles. We're not chief people officers. We're human resource consultants, because the first word is that is human. We are dealing with human beings that have feelings and emotions just like our own. And one thing that I always try to tell leadership is you are an employee that had a leader that you either disagreed with, didn't like. Do not become that same individual. And so I've been in business now for 26 years, and I was an employee. And I distinctively remember, which is why I'm in business, that this organization told me I could not work remotely when my son needed to be in the hospital. Birthed my business. But with that being said, I never forgot that. And I have always said, I will never be that type of leader that will not allow me to put family first before a job. Because a job you can go get, a family member you can't. So in this example that I'm giving you, I have these leaders that are just going to battle because employees are having challenges and not getting things done. Well, there's a reason why they're not getting things done. Have you had conversations with them? No, I just need, you know, they're like taskmasters. These are individuals, they're not square pegs. And so really have to coach them to be able to understand, let's take a step back. Tell me about the best leader that you've had, and tell me about the worst leader that you've had. And when they got to the worst leader, I said, that is the individual that you're turning into. It was a hard pill for them to swallow, but they're like, you're right. How do I change? And then when you realize that, that's where you can begin to help them transition on. So for the simple fact that they realized that they were turning into someone that they didn't want to be, and now they want to change. Now you have to help them to change in order to be the best version of themselves that they can possibly be. Oftentimes, leaders don't understand that. Leaders are promoted based off of productivity, you know, dedication to the organization. They don't come in with leadership style. They don't come in with leadership experience. So you have to help create the leaders that you want them to be and a representation of your particular organization. So I'm glad to say we were able to turn that situation around and, you know, happy as larks for now.
But that's a beautiful story, because what you're talking about is you're talking about consulting with other organizations and other leaders. They own the environment, they own the culture, but you're allowing them to put a mirror up and look in and say, what am I doing? What does this look like? And am I turning in that person? It's just like when you have parents and you go, I'm never going to treat my kids like this ever, ever
Absolutely.
again. And then what happens is you look in the mirror and say, oh my God, I'm a mom. Oh my God, I'm
Right.
acting just like my dad. You know, it's those things that we need to recognize. And I think you said it very well in the first segment that, you know, our history is part of us. And there are reasons why we maybe respond the way we do, that we have to deal with some of that baggage too. So coming up next, we're going to close with a powerful discussion on legacy leadership, how to build beyond yourself and create impact that lasts. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Ignite. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now TV, Now Media TV favorites. We are streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you want. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in both English and Spanish. Now, there are a lot of you who prefer podcasts. Don't worry, we have you covered. Listen to Ignite anytime on Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv, where we're covering business, breaking news, lifestyles, culture, and more. Now Media TV is available 24/7, so the stories you care about are always within reach. Welcome back to Ignite. In this final segment, we're talking about true leadership leaves behind legacy. Great leaders don't just lead for today, they build for tomorrow. Many leaders are focused on the immediate results, forgetting to design structures, systems, and values that last beyond just themselves. So, Vaquita, why does it look like, what does it look like for design leadership that continues to bear fruit after you step back?
Sure. So let me just say this. Your team is a reflection of your leadership. If you're a successful leader, then you've got successful individuals on your team. One of the things that I try to tell leaders in dealing with, whether C-suite leaders or people just stepping into leadership, you never know the impact that you have on someone. And you may never hear a thank you, you may never hear an appreciation. But what you want to do is you want to be the best version of yourself for while they're with you during the trajectory of that career path with that particular organization. You want to equip them with all the tools that they need so that they can go on to their next assignment. And I use that word literal. This is an assignment. It is not permanent, right? It is an assignment that you are supposed to teach them, groom them, educate them for this particular season that's in their life. You want them to be the best version of themselves, and then you want to pass the baton over to their next person who has the next assignment. Legacy for me, when I think about leadership, is that employee or that leader is on a stage somewhere or they're talking to somebody, just like we did as children to say, you know, I had a leader that had this tremendous impact and it changed the trajectory of my life. And I'll use a personal story. I was coaching this young lady who had just stepped into leadership, had no clue on how to do anything. What was crippling her are things that happened to her in her childhood that was stopping her from responding a certain way. I said, let's pause and let's deal with this, because this is going to stop you from everything that you are trying to accomplish, because you have great talent, you have great ability. And here is an example of where I see you if you could stop focusing right here. And so I literally had to peel that back. You know, we had to deal with some unresolved issues, some unresolved pain, some unresolved scars. Once she was able to let that go, She has just excelled in ways that are unbelievable. I will never forget, she said to me, she said, "You have changed my life." And I was like, "That is what I am called to do." So when you go and become the best chief of staff that you're going to be wherever you go, I am glad to know that I had a small integral part in that defining moment. That is legacy leadership. It is not about what I'm getting out of it, it is what I am pouring into. We have a responsibility to train our leaders so that they can be the best version of themselves because they are managing other leaders. And my response to her was, "Now it is your turn to go do the very same thing I did for you for someone else." And it becomes a monopoly effect.
Absolutely. You are so right. You know, and it's our job to think about how we're going to help the next one as we move forward. I mean, that what a beautiful story about turning things around, but also recognizing that you needed to do some additional coaching before you could even move on with what the objective was. Now, we know that balance can be an issue for all leaders, right? Balance in daily demands and thinking about the future, etc. How do you balance those daily demands and legacy thinking in leadership? How do you make that work?
It's intentional. It's very intentional. And it wasn't always for me. It was not always because I was running on fumes. And then finally I said, "I'm not helping anybody. And the only person that's getting caught up in this is myself." So I was doing more damage to myself while trying to be everything for everybody. And so, when I am coaching or talking to other leaders, I will often talk about my experiences because people don't want to hear from folks that haven't been through anything. They want to know how have you overcome these obstacles and these challenges that I am currently dealing with. And so one thing that I tell leaders is be intentional about your time. Be intentional about your health. Be intentional about your mental health. Make sure you're getting enough sleep. That's crucial, right? Sleep is important. Laughter is important. Sometimes you gotta laugh through some of the small stuff because it's just not that serious. Right? And so you have to be intentional about your time management. When we hear about time management, people are thinking about, "Oh, well, I have time to be able to do this, this, that, and the other." No, you don't. Be happy with the word no. Like, no is a beautiful phrase. And for the longest time, I had a hard time. I have a problem saying no now. Vikita can't, no, I cannot. Right? Because it doesn't align up with what it is that I'm trying to do. Don't try to conquer the world because that's not going to happen. Make sure you understand what your assignment is as a leader. Be very strategic about the things that you sign up for to do. Make sure that it aligns with your mission and vision and value for your life, whether it's your spiritual life, whether it's your work life, whether it's your personal life. Make sure that you are in alignment because then you will understand that your time is valuable. What you bring to the table is valuable. Now, I'm not confused. You want to make sure that you have a seat at the table because if not, you're on the menu. And then, but in order to have that seat at the table, you have to be able to know what you're bringing to the table. So be very strategic with your time, be very strategic with what you do, be very strategic with the influences that are speaking into your life. Separate yourself from any negativity. And then that will help you to balance it. I sleep so good at night, I can fire somebody today and go to bed 10 minutes later. Matter of fact, I can fire somebody today and have coffee with them at the same exact time because I'm not terminating your employment. This assignment that you have is over and it's time for you to move on to your next assignment. It's just the bottom line. And so I think that those are some key strategic points that I think people really need to understand is you're not going to conquer the world. You have to be very clear with your goals and your dreams and your ambitions. Make sure that everything that you are doing are aligning up. But most importantly, I think here's the, I'll end with this. When we get on a plane, the flight attendant says, "Before you put on somebody else's mask, put your mask on first." And if you don't have any oxygen, you can't breathe. So put your mask on first before you try to save somebody else.
And we take that so lightly, but you're so right. If we don't take care of ourselves, we can't be any good to anyone else as we're going through this process. And we know that balance is never easy. But I always tell, as I tell my clients, I look at balance as something that is inward. I remember when I was working as a leader and I would come to work early or I would stay at work late, and it got back to me from my leadership that you're not being a good role model. People are watching you and they're thinking that the only way they can grow is to do that. And I went, oh my gosh, I never wanted to do that. So I addressed my team and I said, look, I've never asked you to work the hours I work. I never asked you to do what I do. I do what I do because I'm having fun. I love it. I enjoy it. Not because I'm expecting you to do that. But what I do want you to do is to meet your goals and objectives, whatever that looks like for you. Right? However that comes out for you, let's make that happen. And some people work better in the mornings. That's their bright spot. Some are in the afternoon, some are later in the evenings. We all have our time where we thrive and we shine. And we have to make sure that where we're working, the culture we're working in, aligns with that to have that balance. And I think that's so critical with what you said about being able to find that balance and where, because you spend so much time at work. Lakita, your insights are both practical and very powerful. Where can our viewers follow your work and continue learning from your leadership?
Absolutely. So definitely follow me on Instagram. I'm not the Facebook or not Instagram. I'm sorry, LinkedIn. I am not the Facebook and Instagram individual. I am more LinkedIn. So follow me on LinkedIn. I do post a lot of information. Follow us on our website. But I have no problem with people reaching out to me directly. So again, you can reach me at vikita@pcghr.net. You can just Google me. You'll find all of my information as well. One of my visions is just making sure that people are the best version of themselves as possible. I had people pour into me. It is my responsibility and my assignment to pour back into other people. So feel free to reach out to us. I have an amazing team of employees who are all, speak a different language, right? Because leaders come in all shapes, forms, sizes, color, creeds, orientations. So feel free to reach out to us. I guarantee you we have somebody that's there, if it's not me, that can meet that need. Because all we like to do is plant seeds.
Well, Vaquita, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your empowering insights. I mean, the words that you've spoken, the guidance that you've given. We've explored what it takes to coach rather than control, hire from the heart, resolve conflict with integrity, and build a legacy that lasts. To our audience, leadership isn't about titles. It's about transformation. When you focus on people, principles, and purpose, you don't manage success, you ignite it. I'm Vicki Wright Hamilton, and this is Ignite on Now Media Television. Thank you for watching, and remember, the fire of leadership starts within.